Jungle. That was Guns N' Roses. Welcome to the Jungle, also known as The Phil Nason Show. It is Monday, February the 4th, 2003. How y'all doing out there today? I'd love to give you the football score, but unfortunately, I'm recording this on Sunday afternoon because we talk Knicks basketball primarily on Mondays here. And joining me on the line to do just that, from BreakingTheBackboards.com, Mr. Brent Kitchy. Brent, how you doing today? What's up, man?
Yeah, I'm doing good, Phil, doing good. It's been a good week for the Knicks, so that means it's good. Been a good week for me, so I'm looking forward to getting into it.
All right. So you go by how the Knicks go, eh?
Sometimes.
Because right, I tell you what, you haven't been a fan very long. You'd have committed suicide already.
Lucky I'm only young.
You missed a couple of decades there of, let's just say decadence. And leave it at that. But the NBA, first of all, there's some news floating around. The first thing was the big trade. Rudy Gay and Hamid Hadidi were traded to the Raptors. Gay and Hadidi at that time were playing for the Grizzlies for Jose Calderon and Ed Davis. Then Memphis flipped Calderon, traded him to Detroit for Austin Day and Tayshaun Prince. What did you think about that trade? Because on this program on Wednesday, Andy and I actually had half that trade. What we didn't have was the second part of it.
Yeah, well, I listened to the show, and obviously with the financial concerns for the Grizzlies, it's sort of been on the cards for a little while now. But the problem was, and what they were trying to do, was bring in a third team. Now, it seemed as though that ended up not eventuating and not needing to happen, but then all of a sudden a third team jumped in and the deal got done. I think it's probably a good deal for everyone. A lot of the people are saying the Pistons haven't really received anything in the trade, which, obviously short-term Calderon's a good guy. He's basically a double-double guy. He's going to get 10 points, 10 assists a game, which is always good. But look, the Pistons are looking to be a major player after this season in free agency, and that's going to help them do that because Calderon has a expiring contract, as well as McGetty, Maxiel, Will Bynum. They don't have to give an offer to Austin Day. So I actually looked into it, and they've got about 25 to 30 million in free cap space at the end of this season. So look for them in the long term to possibly benefit from this. But I think it's a good trade for everyone. A lot of people have been criticizing the Grizzlies, saying that they were a contender. I've heard people say, will they make the playoffs? And I can't really disagree more. I think they got a great bench guy, Ed Davis. He's only young. I think he's 23, 24 years old. And he's given you about 10 points in limited minutes too. He's going to grab some boards and he's going to provide some energy off the bench. And obviously Tayshaun Prince. Now, I'm a big believer that teams need veterans to be successful. I think they do great things. And Tayshaun Prince has got a lot of experience, and he's a very good player. I'll be honest, I think he's been coasting for the last couple of years. But, hey, when you're not making the playoffs and you're seeing very little success, it's obviously pretty hard to get up for it. But I think that he could be good for the Grizzlies, and I think we've seen some good team efforts. Rudy Gay sort of spoke for himself. He came off the bench in his first game for the Raptors and had an impressive 20-point game. I think they've got a really exciting backcourt, Lowry, DeRozan, and now Rudy Gay. It's exciting, but I don't think long-term it's really going to benefit the Raptors because Rudy Gay has a very, very big contract. And, yeah, look, he's a good player. He plays both ends of the floor, but the problem is that the Raptors weren't and still, in my opinion, are not a playoff team. So they're going to find it hard to build now that they've taken on such a big contract.
Yeah, maybe. I think they did the wise thing. Rudy Gay goes now to the four spot, and that's why he excelled. He's going to excel in Toronto because there's no pressure there. He doesn't have to succeed. And there's a reason they call it White Vegas. You know what White Vegas means, right?
No.
This is the trip when they go to Toronto, NBA players, that when they kiss their wives or their girlfriends goodbye, they try not to smile because this is the place where they have the most fun. If you notice, Toronto has a very good home record always for that reason, because guys go out and hang out. Toronto is White Vegas, Snow Vegas, basically, and they have a lot of fun there. But and Rudy Gay will have a lot of fun there too. The problem that Toronto will always have is getting free agents to join him. They locked him in for a couple of years. If the best they can do is a Landry Fields type of 3-year, $20 million, what is that? That's crazy money for him. The team that made out is Memphis. And, well, Detroit did too, but Memphis did. And you brought up Tayshaun Prince, and you're right about Tayshaun Prince. But here's the thing. He's also got a championship ring. He knows how to win. That's what those boys in Memphis didn't know how to do. You know, they've got a good basketball team there, a really good one. And now they've got, like you said, a veteran, but a veteran who's won. They can look at him and say, I won. He won. And he was a big part of that reason they won. He was a main part of it, him and Chauncey Billups. He's going to fit in really nice there. And Ed Davis is going to be a beast if he ever gets the opportunity to play correctly. He's going to be awesome. But I'll tell you something else, this Calderon kid, yeah, his days are numbered in Detroit. He's only going to be there for the rest of the year. They shedded a lot of salary with Austin Day and Tayshaun. They didn't really want to give up Tayshaun, but they had no choice. It was time to say goodbye. He'd been a big fan favorite. They love him in Detroit. And he hasn't been coasting the last couple of years. He's been hurt. You know, he's been playing hurt. That's what he's always done. But the thing about this trade is that's going to free up Brandon Knight to play the shooting guard position where he really wants to play, where he excels. That's going to give them opportunities to score. And Greg Monroe down low is going to be the beneficiary of a point guard, a veteran point guard who knows how to dish the ball. Watch out for Detroit. They may make the playoffs. Don't be surprised if they don't sneak in that eighth seed. And I see now Boston's out again with Jared Sullinger is out for the season with a banged up back. When it rains, it pours in Boston, huh?
Yeah, tough times for the Celtics. When I first heard the news, I mean, it's been well recorded, and that's why he wasn't drafted as high as maybe he should have been, that he's had ongoing back issues. And when it was reported, I thought, okay, yep, the Celtics are doing the right thing. They've put this guy out for the rest of the season. You know, without Rondo, they're not going to succeed. But looking into it a little bit more, he had some serious issues going on, and it wasn't a choice. It was a must. And he's out for the season. And obviously this is something that the Celtics would be fearing. You would have to say from day one they took a risk with this guy. I'm wrong on this, but I know he was drafted around 20th, I think, 20th to 22nd. So they did take a risk on him. And he's been good for them this season. He's provided some good energy off the bench. And some guys have really – well, I know his teammates have really loved him, especially Kevin Garnett. So it's definitely a big loss for them, and especially long-term. You need this guy on the court, and it's a worry so early in his NBA career.
Yeah, he was looking to be someone who could pan out for them. Now they've got Rondo out. They've got Sullinger out. There's all kinds of rumors about busting up the Celtics. That's not going to happen. They might trade Paul Pierce, though. I don't think – well, I honestly thought they would have traded him for – Rudy Gay, actually, but now that that trade's over, who knows what they're going to do, but it is what it is. Now, and I'll tell you what, under the file of the extremely strange, Ricky Rubio, he is a young fella, 22 years old from Spain, and apparently he plays pretty decently for Minnesota when he wants to. Well, he is friends with Pau Gasol, they're buddies from Spain, and he decided to, how do I put this? Critique another team about how they use their players. Now, that surprised me greatly, but this is what he said. He, being Ricky Rubio, is referring to Pau Gasol. He proved the league he is one of the best. He can pass, he can shoot, he can rebound, he can do a lot of things. I think if you use him in the right way, he is a top player in this league. If they don't want him, we are more than welcome to get him. What'd you think about that?
Look, I'm not going to lie. I was a little bit shocked that he came out and said that. But like you've said on shows previous, this guy's been a big name over in his own country for a long time. And I don't think he's shy about saying things. And I think he sees himself as a basketball star. And I don't think he's going to shy away from things, even if he hasn't got that jump shot of his going yet. But in a way, what he said was true. I mean, I personally think that Pau Gasol could still be a 20-10 guy, and we saw that the other night. Howard was out with his shoulder injury again, and I think he put up numbers around 20 points and 12 rebounds. The criticism surrounding him has always been the fact that he's seen to be soft on the defensive end. Now, I come to expect that from European big men. But, look, he's still a talented guy, but I don't think it's up to any player, especially a young player in the league, to be criticising an NBA coach who, in Mike D'Antoni, has been around for a very, very long time.
Yeah. Yeah, who is this kid? You know, he used to be worried about his own team. But then, because this team ain't so great either, and he's got a head case on his team named Mr. Love. But thankfully, he is out for another couple months, so they don't have to worry about it. But anyway, he went on to further say this. It's been the last 2 years that it seems like they don't want him, but actually they need him. He's a great player. He can do a lot of things, and he had some issues with the knees. It's been a lot of years without resting for him, but he's a veteran. He knows how to play. And then he goes on, this is a killer. This is what killed me. It's hard when you are hearing things with the rumors that you're going to be traded to be focused. Like he says, he's a professional and he's been playing for a long time and he's going to keep doing what he's doing. You know, you wonder with when they get knee pads from the manager's training room or the manager's office, do they come with a bib too?
Look, sometimes you do wonder. I don't think that Pau Gasol probably needs anyone making excuses for him. Although, I mean, Pau Gasol himself has come out and said a few things to the public about, you know, being given that role on the bench and how he's never done that in his career and he's not happy about it. So maybe the veteran isn't leading by example either, which probably isn't helping Ricky Rubio. But, hey, I'm not making excuses for him. One of my favorite sayings is just shut up and play ball, and that might be what Ricky Rubio needs to start doing. I know he's come back from his knee injury, and I think he's a very talented player, but I don't think he needs to weigh in on the coaching of another team, that's for sure. He could show his support in other ways. Let's put it that way.
Right, with his bib. I'm serious. I don't understand these kids. This is the softness of the NBA, I tell you. These guys, I mean, maybe they hold hands in private. You never know. But the thing is this. Why do you care what the Los Angeles Lakers do? You want them to lose. More importantly, you should probably care a little bit more about your own team. Your own team sucks. The Minnesota Timberwolves suck. And he's a reason that they suck because he's afraid to play now because he hurt his knee. It's typical of people who get injured. You know, they get nervous. And that's fair enough. But he needs to just shut up and not worry about the Los Angeles Lakers or not worry about who his team should select because, quite frankly, he's a 22-year-old kid who has done nothing of merit in the NBA. He needs to shut his mouth, but I doubt that'll happen. And he needs to just play ball, like you said. And it's get a bib out, boy. Get your bib out. Spit a little bit. Good Lord. Anyway, here we go. Reggie Evans. Now, this is hilarious. I got to tell you, I was probably the biggest, not the biggest, a lot of other guys were hammering too, a lot bigger platforms than I had, hammering LeBron James for years that he ain't a winner. I called him a traitor because he walked out on Cleveland, and I'm right. I know people who live in Akron, Ohio, and Cleveland, Ohio, who think this guy walked on water, and then when he slipped and sunk and decided to leave, they hated him, and rightly so. But Reggie Evans, he had this to say about the Miami Heat in their season last year. It doesn't prove nothing. Attaboy. That was a lockout season. Our team is defending the Miami Heat. If our team has to defend one person, LeBron isn't going to score nothing. LeBron is no different from Joe Johnson or Andre Blatch. No different. People need help. Some people don't need help. Everybody has to be double teamed. It doesn't matter who you are. You just have to stop LeBron in transition. Okay, that's fair enough. But didn't they just lose by 30 points to that team? I mean, what do you think when you see stuff like this? And you're a new fan. I've been a fan. This is my fifth decade, like I always say. I'm dating myself here, basically, of watching NBA basketball, listening to this kind of foolishness. What do you think about this kind of statement?
Oh, this. I think the scary part is that we're getting used to it, and that's a real worry because comments like this are just ridiculous. And like you said, the worst part is it was after they just got blown out against Miami, not before. This guy wasn't trash talking into the lead up into the game. I don't think the Nets have won a game against Miami this season, so I don't think he needs to be comparing LeBron to Andre Blatch because that's ridiculous. And on his actual comments, I mean, I don't see what's easier about winning a championship last year than any other year. I mean, if anything, these guys didn't have a training camp. These guys had a condensed schedule. So it was a tough season for everyone, and we saw a lot of big injuries. These guys came through and won the championship. I mean, what more can you really say on it? It's just stupid. Just shut up and play ball. We should start a new segment, shut up and play ball, and we'll just say weekly quotes, stupid quotes from NBA players.
You know, that's not a bad idea. I can set it up like that Facebook Fugazi skit.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
I like it. That was cool. I came up with that inspiration at 5 in the morning. But then I understand how to do some of this stuff. That's why this is a great radio program, you know, because we do – it sounds like a radio show the way it should be. But this guy's nuts, man. When he says some people need help, people need help on defense. Some people don't need help. Well, he needs help too. He needs to go see a doctor, some kind of doctor, a psychiatrist, an optometrist, something, because he is definitely not in the real world. Robin Williams was a very famous comedian. You ever heard of him?
Yeah, I've heard of Robin Williams.
Okay, because he's from your country, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
Well, my mother used to say this. My dear departed mother used to say this. She said, reality, what a concept. That was Robin Williams' old line, and that was hilarious. And the reason, and this is a concept that he doesn't understand. If he honestly thinks that LeBron is no different from Joe Johnson or Andre Blatch, do these guys giggle when they say these things? I mean,
I don't even know anymore. I don't even know. I mean, do you know the best part about these comments was not that nobody ignored them. LeBron James came out and gave this guy an absolute spray and basically said, if you're not a champion, don't comment on it, comment on it and have some respect, because right now you've done nothing in your career. And that is exactly right. And I'm glad that he said it.
He's right. He's earned the right to say that too. You know, I used to rip on the Miami Heat every single day, Brent, for like 2 years. And I haven't said a derogatory word about them at all this year. The closest thing that I came to saying anything negative was when I referred to Ray Allen as Judas Shuttlesworth. That's the closest thing I've ever said. But I'll tell you what, we are off to a flying start, and we got a good idea for a new skit. How about that? When we return, we're going to take a look at the week for the New York Knicks. This past week was pretty good, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Phil Nason Show on these amazing affiliates.
Sports Channel, Ohio Sports Radio Network, TalkSuperStation.com.
And we'll be right back.
And we're back talking basketball with BreakingTheBackboard.com's Brent Kitchen. We're on the Skype line. Yeah, we're trying to do our best to make this show sound the way it does. Skype doesn't help sometimes, but we do our best. Anyhow, the New York Knicks this week, Brent, played 3 basketball games. They defeated the Orlando Magic 113-97 on Tuesday, I believe. Then on Thursday night, they beat the Milwaukee Bucks 96-86. And then they absolutely spanked the Sacramento Kings 120-81. Good week, right?
Yeah, I would say a very good week. I mean, looking at individual performances, I was probably a bit happier than what I was just looking at the wins, because apart from the Bucks, obviously, I wouldn't call the Bucks contenders, but they're in playoff contention and the other guys aren't. But I saw a lot of positive signs. I saw some great fourth quarter defense at times, obviously still off and on, but it was good to see. And I'm gonna announce it. I think the Knicks have found the key to Carmelo Anthony, Amari Stoudemire, and Tyson Chandler being on the floor together. And I think the answer to that is put the ball in Carmelo's hands and let him run pick and rolls, let him make the plays, because with him coming off screens with those two big guys, either one either cutting from the baseline or coming off that screen or both setting the screen at the top of the key, it's very, very, very tough to watch. And we've seen Carmelo's assists rise up this week. Or in his last five games, he's been up about around four or five assists, and his scoring's been down a little bit, which I don't have a problem with. I enjoy seeing that. And I tell you what, Amari Stoudemire, he's been impressive since he got his legs back under him. I'll give you some stats in his last five games. 18 points, 73% field goal percentage. And I think in the last, this week he had two 100% games where he didn't miss a shot. He's shooting 85% from the line, and he's averaging one block and six rebounds per game in 25 minutes of play, which is very, very impressive. And something I've announced recently is that if he keeps coming off the bench, which from all reports from Mike Woodson, he is, and I don't think he has any intention of starting him, then this guy is eliminating the Sixth Man of the Year award. I know I've been talking about J.R. Smith winning it all year, but those numbers are ridiculous. Obviously, I don't expect the field goal percentage to stay that high, but the production in itself has been really good to see. And we're seeing him down the post and doing a lot more things on both ends of the floor. I mean, obviously, the defense isn't there. He's not the smartest basketballer in the world, but I enjoy seeing anyone get out there and hustling, and it's been good to see. Tyson Chandler, what a week. Two 20-point rebounding games in 1 week. Consecutive games. I mean, this guy just coming out with energy. He's not doing as much on the offensive end, but he sure as hell is on the defensive end. I think he's stepped it up these last couple of games, which is great. And personally, the only, what will I say, the flaw that I saw in Tyson Chandler's game at the beginning of this season, what I was harping on, was for him to get his hands up and rebound the ball. And I think Mike Woodson saw that in recent times, and he's gone to him and told him he needed to be more aggressive, and that's exactly what he's done. Very, very impressive. And just an interesting little stat, the Knicks have the highest fourth-quarter scoring margin in the NBA at the moment, and they are also equal first in the East with a record of 30 and 15. So, look, who they played, maybe not that impressive, but what they've been doing and the way they've been putting it together is starting to look good in recent times.
Yep, can't disagree with that. You know what? They need to score in that fourth quarter because they play defense like crap in the first half. It doesn't fit. It never fails. They just don't play four quarters of defense from the great defensive-minded head coach named Mike Woodson. Anyhow, they have to score, and that's what I've been saying all year. Their offense is what wins them basketball games because their defense puts them into trouble. They're not as good a defensive team as people say they are. Don't believe that hogwash for a second. They're not that good a defensive team. Mike Woodson's not that good of a defensive coach. I don't care what anyone says. And Amari Stoudemire says this is the first year that I've ever been taught defense. Well, who was his defensive coach last year? Anyway, needless to say, they have played great. Tyson Chandler's a beast. And then we have Carmelo Anthony. And I cannot believe people are so stupid. They don't look up anything. They don't know anything. Carmelo Anthony broke the single season consecutive 20 points or more scoring record that was held for, 40 years or more by Richie Guerin. Richie Guerin had 29 in a row in 1961 and 62. Carmelo got to 30, but people are now talking about how Carmelo is the all-time consecutive 20-plus points in a row. No, he's not. Richie Guerin had four games. Don't forget, in 1961 and 62, and I wasn't there yet. This is one of those times, Brent, where actually this is older than me. But anyhow, if anyone wants to look it up, they can go right ahead. Richie Guerin ended the season in 61-62 with his 29th straight 20-plus per game output. He opened up the 1962-63 season with four more in a row before he finally was stopped. So while, yes, Carmelo Anthony is the single season 20 plus per night consecutive game scoring leader or record holder, whatever you want to call him, he ain't the franchise record holder. That continues on, just like your records from year to year continue on. They don't go, well, he played 82 games in 1982-83 and then they start over again. Records are cumulative. And that's what we need to remember. We need to do our homework better. Don't believe everything that you hear in the media. It's not always the case. People jump the gun. I can't believe so many people miss that. But it is what it is. They don't know their teams very well, maybe, or they don't care enough to look, whatever. But you said it right. Tyson Chandler, 20 rebounds in a basketball game, that's a lot. To do it twice in 1 week, that's pretty good. The thing about the Knicks, too, is one thing that I've appreciated this week, Brent, is the fact that they hit the offensive glass better than they have this entire season, at least in my opinion. And their defensive rebounding is not that bad. But that defense, that's horrendous in the first half. They look like high schoolers when they first start out, don't they?
Yeah, well, when I found the stat about the fourth quarter scoring, I actually went searching for a statistic about how they were in their first quarter, which I was unable to find. But we are continually seeing them come out sluggish, slow, and very unimpressive. Apart from the game against the Kings, we usually see Carmelo Anthony come out with a lot of energy and high scoring, but a lot of the time he's the only guy and he can't do it himself. It's a worry. It's definitely a worry because they're not putting points on the board and they're letting the other team score the ball. And look, a lot of people are aware and people that know their basketball are aware that everything happens from the defensive end. When your team's playing good defense, your offense is going to flow a lot better. And that's definitely not happening for four quarters of the ball game. I think usually we'll see it for two quarters out of four. And it's a worry going ahead and something that I'm probably going to start worrying about more if we continue to see it after the All-Star break, because if you go into the playoffs against playoff teams, you really can't do that because they're not going to allow you to get back into the game. They're not going to step off, allow you to hit a few outside shots, which we've seen the Knicks doing in recent times, and that's, you know, how they win games a majority of the time, and let you back into the game. So it's definitely something that needs to be solved. The problem is that watching the game, I don't know how to solve it because really the guys that are out there need to be playing better defense and pulling down rebounds earlier in the game. I've got no solutions. I don't know if you've got anything that you can think of, but right now it's a worry.
Well, what they need to do is go back to that zone, because they really don't have a great defensive team. The players on that team aren't really defensive-minded outside of perhaps Tyson Chandler, perhaps Jason Kidd, perhaps Raymond Felton. But the rest of them, they're not really known for defense, and they don't have to be, really. But what they need to do is stop all that switching. They do this all the time. They switch, 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 and wind up in mismatch hell. That first half, was it against the Bucks? They gave up too much inside. There's a reason for that, because they're switching too much. They need to go back to that zone defense, that matchup zone that Woodson was running a little bit when Amari's in there. Run it the entire game. Maybe switch for a minute or two. Go man to man straight up, depending on the matchups. But you've got an older team, and they're not as quick as they used to be. They need to play a zone. That's what I think they should do. I really believe that. Now, this week is an interesting week because the New York Knicks have four games coming up. On Monday night, they play Detroit. On Wednesday night, they play Washington. On Friday night, they play Ricky Rubio and the Bibwears. And on Sunday, they play the LA Clippers at home on Sunday. That should be an interesting week for the Knicks. I'll tell you something. They could walk out of here this week number one in the conference. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely think they could walk out of this week number one in the conference. Looking at that, really, the only tough game is the Clippers, but they've got their fair share of injury concerns at the moment. And I'm still waiting for an update on Chris Paul, but I believe that he's still out. And he's certainly not healthy, as well as a lot of guys on that roster. So with the Pistons, having some recently made moves, and then you look at a young Washington team and an injured Timberwolves team as well as an injured Clippers team, I don't usually say it. I'm a little bit more skeptical than you are sometimes, but I could see them winning all four games this week.
Yeah, I think, I'll give you an update on Chris Paul. He's hurt. He's out. He's killing one of my fantasy teams. I don't see him coming back until after the All-Star break. They don't really, even though they're struggling, they don't really need him right now. They need him healthy for after the All-Star break heading into the playoffs. Really need that. Detroit, yeah, with the rejuvenated Detroit, I still think the Knicks take care of that. Washington, of course, they'll take care of that. Minnesota, well, geez. Well, hopefully Ricky doesn't fall in love with anybody from the Knicks. And then the Clips, yeah, I think you're right. I usually think it should be, I always say 3 out of 4, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's going to be, I think if they can get by 3 out of 4, they should. If they win those three, that'll put them at 7 in a row. And they'll be the hottest team in the NBA, which they are anyway. And except for the San Antonio Spurs, who've won 10 in a row, I can't believe still. I'm going to say they're going to go 4-0-2. I think they're going to knock off the Clippers, man. I really do. I think so. All right, you know what? We have to take a break, pay some bills, and when we return, we're going to talk about what we're going to do is give the boys from the New York Knicks our midseason report card. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Phil Nason Show on these amazing affiliates. We'll be right back.
And we're back talking Knick basketball, NBA basketball, having a good time with BreakingTheBackboards.com's Brent Kitchen. What we're going to do today, folks, is we're going to give you a report card, an individual report card on the boys from Blue in Blue, as well as our favorite coach, the dear Mr. Mike Woodson. Anyhow, Carmelo Anthony, what do you give him?
Oh, does the question need to be asked? Definitely an A. Carmelo Anthony, my MVP for this season, leading this Knicks team. Never seen him play so well on both ends of the floor. Easily an A for Carmelo.
I give him an A-. I don't think anyone on my report card got an A, a full A. You only get an A when you win championships. Anyhow, you know what? He still has the same thing when he gets fouled and he throws up his arms and he doesn't get back on defense. He still does that. That's annoying to me. But that's Carmelo, and you're right. He's done well, and I'm impressed with the way he's carried himself thus far this year, all things considered. You know what, though? I hope that he stops that crying and pouting and just plays. Everyone knows he doesn't get the calls. I don't know why. Maybe the refs don't like him. Doesn't matter. Anyway, Amari Stoudemire, what do you have for him?
Look, I've given Amari Stoudemire a B. Some might think that's generous, but obviously we haven't seen him for long, and all I can do is go off recent form, and like I said earlier in the program, since this guy got his legs back under him, in 25 minutes a game, he's putting up easily six-man of the year award numbers and coming off the bench. And look, he's obviously not where we need him to be on the defensive end, but I think with the effort that he's put in and the numbers and the efficiency on the offensive end that he's playing with, I gave him a B.
I gave him an incomplete, and I'll tell you why. Because the sample size is too small for me to judge him fairly. And that's one of the things that I wanted to be as fair to this kid. I've been hard on this guy because his defense sucks, and I called him a jinx a couple times, and I still think that he is. I honestly don't get what's going on with him right now, but I'm happy to see what he's performed or how he's performed this past 10 days, I guess. Sixth man of the year? Nah, I don't know yet, man. That's a little premature, but it'll get you.
That's really cool.
But it'll get you some blog hits.
Yeah, well, it has recently. It's definitely sparked some interest, that's for sure.
Well, of course it will. Yeah, sure. Because people want to know who the crazy man who wrote that.
That's what they want. When I say stats don't lie and they can't argue.
There you go. That's right. You've learned a lot from me, haven't you? Anyway, Jason Kidd. What do you give Jason Kidd?
I was very, very up and down on this one. And I gave Jason Kidd a B-. He does a lot of things right, but he has been on and off. Probably the only reason he wasn't a C is because I think he's been played too much and he's been put into a role above what he's capable of playing in his later years of his career. But I think when this guy was healthy and wasn't being overplayed, he was doing some great things for the Knicks. So I gave him a B-, because I think a lot of it hasn't been his fault, but the good things that he's done has definitely earned him that B-, in my opinion.
Wow, I gave him an A-. First of all, when you're 39 years old and you can play 35 minutes in an NBA basketball game and not hurt your team, that's pretty good. Okay. Second of all, I think he's one of the reasons why the offense moves the way it does. And when he's not out on the floor, you can tell the difference. You really can. He understands the game better, and that's why I gave him an A-. Plus, you know, those deflections and those steals at the end of the game that he gets, and those he breaks people's backs with those little deflections and the little things that he still does better than anyone else on that basketball team. And that's why I gave him an A-. But a B-? Yeah, sure, why not? That's fair enough. I can't argue with you because it's all subjective. Anyway, Raymond Felton, what do you got for him?
Raymond Felton, I gave a B. I think he's had a great season, and I love what he brings the Knicks. And you know that, and I've said that many times before. The only reason I gave this guy a B is purely because I think at times his decision-making is really off, and he tries to do too much. And when Jason Kidd's off the floor again, you can see that because he tries to take over the game in the wrong ways sometimes. And I love his aggression. Knicks fans love his aggression, but sometimes it comes out in the wrong way. But I gave this guy a B, and that's not a criticism of him. I think there's just some things and decision making that he could improve on.
I gave him an A-. And I'll tell you why, because quite frankly, he is the straw that serves that drink. When he was out, the Knicks were 5-5. Don't forget that. They were having a hard time. Now when the thing is, and one of the things that you made an observation about 6 or 7 weeks ago about he shoots a lot. I remember being critical of him, and what you said, it made sense. And I had to agree with you and change my opinion, which doesn't happen very often. But is that he was shooting because he had no choice. And now he has a choice, and he's doing the right things with that choice, meaning he's giving the ball up. And the offense is completely different with him on the floor. Him being hurt was a disaster. It was catastrophic for the Knicks. Him going to the locker room the other night for x-rays again, and Knicks fans had to have their hearts just stop still because it was horrendous, but it turned out negative. But I gave him an A-. I love Raymond Felton. Really, I do. Maybe I should get my bib out. But honestly, I always did. And the thing is, I was pissed at these people for trading him for Carmelo Anthony because I did not like Carmelo. And I'm still not so sure about Carmelo, to tell you the truth. I've seen too much of me, myself, and Melo over the years. So I'm not so sure yet. But A- for Ray Felton. Ronnie Brewer, what do you got for him?
An E, because I was excited when he came to the Knicks. I thought he could bring some things to this team that they needed, and he just hasn't. And anyone who tries to argue that this guy only is good on the defensive end of the court and we should we shouldn't expect him to make shots is kidding themselves, because not only is this guy shooting, I wrote it down, something in his last five games, like 15% from the field, he's not playing defense, and that is why he's not seeing any minutes, even in the blowout win against the Kings.
I gave him a C. And the reason is, and here's why. Because I was generous, because quite frankly, without his hard work in November, the Knicks wouldn't have gotten off to the start that they did. And that's the only saving grace I have for him. You know what? It's really hard to watch a professional athlete lose their confidence. But that's what's happened. The same thing happened in Chicago. And I used to fight with the Chicago fans, man. Really fight with them. I did a show with Ben Parker, NBA Lord, and we rated the Eastern Conference, and I said Chicago was the best team. But Ronnie Brewer was a stat stuffer, because he is for a fantasy team, really. He was. He goes scores straight across the board. He's on the wrong team because he is defensive-minded, but the defense that Mike Woodson runs doesn't make sense. And, well, when you got a guy who actually knows how to play defense, who can't find a way to fit into that system because, like I said, it doesn't make sense, It is what it is. All right, so that's why I gave him a C. Otherwise, whatever. I don't think I gave anyone an E. And then you call me the prick. Anyway, I'm not calling you a prick, but, you know, they go, oh, he's so hard. Yeah, well, now you see the softer, gentler side of the Flash. Anyway, Tyson Chandler, what do you give him?
I give Tyson Chandler a B+, and that's very hard after his most recent 20 rebound games. But I saw a criticism that I had with him was that he stopped on the offensive end for a little while. He wasn't being aggressive enough, and he wasn't pulling enough rebounds down for the first month or so of the season. And personally, I think he played better last season. So that's the only reason why this guy isn't an A, just because I think he can be better. And in the last two games, we've seen him do that. And hey, if he keeps it up, he's an A+. But I just want to see him step back up and be the defensive player of the year that he was last season.
You know what? We actually agree there. I gave him a B+ also. And for that reason, too, his defense hasn't been there this year the same way it was last year. And the reason is because of the coach. His defensive scheme doesn't make sense. All that switching leaves him in trouble. But he's come off big the last couple games. You know, I think when he got named to the All-Star team, that did something for him. Because he'd never been there before. He'd been overlooked a lot. Completely underrated. And, well, this week was a good week for him, dude. Really, it was. And I'd like to see what I think is going to – I would say something. Two things I'm going to say right now. I think Jason Kidd is going to wind up at some point this season with a triple-double. And I think at some point this season, Tyson Chandler is going to score 20 points and get 20 rebounds. I think so. But I gave him a B+ also. What about Chris Copeland? What do you think of him? What would you grade him?
Yeah, look, this was a tough one for me. I ended up giving him a C+. And that's probably just because in his more recent form, in more recent times, he hasn't been getting a lot of court time. And that's been a big criticism over his defense and the energy that he's putting in at times. I find him very sporadic. I think he's full of talent, but lacking a little bit of confidence. And also, we know that he's lacking that defensive ability. But I don't think that should stop a guy from hustling on the defensive end. Like, I understand someone like Carmelo Anthony isn't a naturally good defensive player, but I think the energy can still be expelled on that end of the court, and that's probably what I haven't seen. Everything else I like about his game, I just want a little bit more consistency, and that's why he wasn't high for me.
I gave him a C. Yeah, I gave him a C, and you know why? Because I just love watching this kid shoot. You know, when he shoots, when he hits those threes, it's nothing but the bottom of the net. You see how that net pops? That's great spin, great rotation on the ball. I love that. He's an offensive-minded player. And don't forget, too, his minutes are getting kind of chewed up because Carmelo's on the floor a lot, and they play the same position. So it's kind of tough. I like Chris Copeland. I don't think there's a future for him in New York, but there is a future for him in the NBA, and that's a good thing to see. You know, he's carved a little niche for himself. He can play. He's not going to get a chance to do much in the Mike Woodson system because, well, Mike Woodson's system is weird. Just is. I'm sorry. Just is. Anyway, I like him, and I'm glad he is a part of this year's New York Knicks team who are going to win the championship. I'm still on that kick, by the way. Pablo Prigioni. What are you going to give the man from Argentina, dude?
I'm giving Pablo Prigioni a B, and that's a solid B, too. I know he's been on and off, but this guy, sometimes he gets minutes, sometimes he doesn't. When guys are injured, he's playing high minutes. When guys are on the court, he's sitting on the bench for the entire game. But this guy's come up big for the Knicks a lot this season, and I really enjoy actually watching him on the court, and he plays both ends of the court, which is something I respect in a guy and something I respect in a player. And I really love having this guy sitting on the end of our bench and knowing he's going to come on and play.
Yeah, I gave him a B also. Hold the phone. I like watching him play. He's a great addition, you know. How do you be critical of a 35-year-old rookie? You don't. I mean, he's fantastic. And that team that he's with in Argentina is awesome. I'm happy that he's on the team, and he does things right. You know what? He pesters these ball handlers and drives them crazy. He forced more turnovers the other night than I've seen anyone else on the Knicks do, and that's incredible. And that's why he gets a B in my book. I wish he would shoot more, but he's a European type of point guard, a playmaker, which means he looks out for his other teammates, like Kobe Bryant's doing these days, apparently. Anyway, Kurt Thomas, what do you give Kurt Thomas?
I give the veteran Kurt Thomas a B. That's because he's always ready to play. In the games that he's started, he's had an impact. He always plays defense, and he's always there when we need him on the court. So I actually wish he'd get a little bit more regular court time, but hey, that's not our decision to make. But I'm still going to give him a B because he's always there when the Knicks need him.
Yeah, I gave him a B+ because for that reason, he's just it's confusing for him. You know, he's always started, and now he's just kind of languishing on Mike Woodson's bench because Mike Woodson doesn't know how to hide. He's not a great head coach, and he doesn't know how to use his team well. And Kurt Thomas is a guy who you should have inserted in there when Camby went out. But he doesn't want to do that. So, B+ for him. Rasheed Wallace.
Rasheed Wallace, I gave a C-. He's missed a lot of time. He's been a bit out of shape. I know he's been exciting. I know Knicks fans love him. But I personally don't think he's a great decision maker. And I hate seeing him out on the three-point arc taking away shots from guys like Steve Novak. When he's shooting about 30% from the three-point line, it's never good to see. I know he's a great communicator, but at times I don't see the right things from him. And I love him on the bench, but on the court, that's what I give him.
This is the only guy I gave a failure to, an E. A big E. F-G-H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O-P as well. You know what, that day he came on the court and it was a close basketball game and he gave the referee the old ball don't lie crap and got kicked out. That wasn't very helpful. The times he launches those shots, that ain't very helpful. We don't need Rasheed Wallace to be nailing threes. I like Rasheed as a human being though. He's hilarious. At least he says what's on his mind. But he, like J.R. Smith, will hurt you before he'll help you. And he's Mike Woodson's buddy. Mike Woodson dragged him out of retirement to come and play with him. And now he's just occupying a spot on the roster where someone with better abilities and who can actually come and help us can't because he's there. So I flunked him just because of that. Anyway, Marcus Camby. Who do you have? What do you have from Marcus Camby?
Yeah, Marcus Camby, I gave a C-. I haven't seen enough of him, but probably a solution to the defensive problem in the first quarter. I actually really liked seeing him alongside Tyson Chandler for those couple of games before he got re-injured. But yeah, really haven't seen enough of him. The games I have when he started on the floor, I really liked what I saw, to be honest.
I gave him an incomplete for that reason. Just haven't seen enough of him. He's good for the team, but he's not going to finish the season with the Knicks. He's hurt too much. It is what it is. He's not in shape. He didn't come to the team in shape like Rasheed. But I give him an incomplete because I like Marcus Camby. I liked him when he played for UConn, and I still like him. Anyhow, James White. What do you give him?
Yeah, James White I gave a C. Very similar, perhaps not the same effect as Pablo Prigioni, but I think he's plays both ends of the floor when he comes on and plays minutes. He doesn't do anything wrong. He's not going to go out there and get you a lot of points or anything like that. But he comes onto the court and does the right thing, and I respect that. And a guy knows his role, and he plays it when he's needed.
Yeah, I gave him a C. That's all. I don't really have much to say about him because he doesn't play enough for us to really grade him correctly. What about Steve Novak? What do you give Steve Novak?
Steve Novak, I gave a D. I don't think he's been aggressive consistently. We see some great things from him sometimes, but a lot of the times he's not going out and getting his shot. And when you're a one-dimensional player and you're out there for one reason, you need to get that one reason, and that's his three-point shot, and I want to see more of it because the games that we do, things become a lot easier for the Knicks on the offensive end of the court.
I gave him a B, and only because I love watching him shoot, but I don't love the rest of it. He's just padding his stats, man. He knows his time is limited, and he wants to keep getting paid in the NBA. He wants that high percentage, and he's padding his stats to do it, and that's fair enough, I guess. All right, moving on, Iman Shumpert.
Yeah, look, going on your current theme, I could probably give him an incomplete, but I've given him a grade and I've given him a C-. You can say it's the knee, and I would totally respect that, but I probably haven't seen enough aggression from him on either end of the court, and he seemed a little bit complacent in his comeback. But, hey, obviously it's excusable with his knee, and that's probably a tough mark.
I gave him a B because of his knee. Yeah, I'm just happy to see him walk on the court like a normal human being. You know, that says a lot because he ripped it pretty good. Eh, he'll be all right. You know something? He probably won't be the future of the Knicks, but he doesn't need to be. He's there now, and he's going to be a big part of why the New York Knicks win the championship in June. J.R. Smith, what do you give him?
I gave J.R. Smith an A-. I think he's having a career season. I love seeing him play on the court. I love what he brings to the Knicks. I think he tries to do the right things. He's had a few drop-offs here and there, but on a whole, he's been great coming off the bench. He plays some big minutes for the Knicks. He's out there whenever he's asked to be, and he does whatever he's asked of. And I really like it. And we're seeing him play defense this season, which is even better.
Yeah, I gave him a B+ because he shoots this out of too many games still. And he's up till 4 in the morning tweeting on Twitter before a 12 o'clock game. I mean, he is a trip. But I gave him a B+. I love watching him shoot. He hit 25 last night. But like I said, he's going to cost us before it's all over. You can see that right now. All right, we've got about a minute and a half left, Brent. I gave Mike Woodson a C. You all know what I think about Mike Woodson. I don't have to continue on. Go ahead. What did you give him?
I gave Mike Woodson a B. Obviously, you've spoken repeatedly about the reasons why you don't think he's a good head coach. And I'll be honest, I agree with a lot of those reasons. But here's the reason why I gave this guy the grade that I did. The Knicks are 30-15. They're equal first in the East. Carmelo Anthony is having a career season. J.R. Smith is having a career season. And I think that is purely, and I've said it many times to you personally on a private note, I think he's a great mentor. I think he's a great one-on-one guy with players. Perhaps he doesn't make the right decisions every now and then, and that's why he isn't an A for me. But he gets the best out of guys like that. Amari Stoudemire as well. His post game is benefiting the Knicks probably more so than a lot of people are realizing, and that is purely because of Mike Woodson. He told him to fit into this offense. You have to go out there and you have to attain a post game, and that's exactly what he did. And I think it's going to pay off in the long run. Tyson Chandler, similar thing. Needed to pull down more rebounds. He went to him as a mentor and asked him to do that. He has his faults, but his positives have got him that grade for me.
So you gave him a D.
A B, B.
Oh, I thought you said D. I was thinking, wow.
No, B.
Boy, I really ruined you anyway. Whatever. That's fair enough. We'll get into this another time because we are running out of time here. Brent, thank you so much for being on the program.
No problems, Phil. Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. And you can find Brent Kitchen over at BreakingTheBackboards.com. There's a link in the show notes. Tomorrow night, Mark Berman will be here to talk about his novel, Brilliant Disguise. And then, of course, I'm going to go off on Piers Morgan. We're going to have some fun tomorrow. And, of course, we'll talk about those Housewives of Beverly Hills, the Housewives of Atlanta, maybe some Mob Wives. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, we'll see you tomorrow. And until then, you all, I mean this, thank you so much for subscribing on iTunes. Thank you for making this show what it is. And we had a big announcement yesterday. We are now affiliated with SportsKings.com, but we're going to talk more about that on Wednesday because I had a lot to talk about today. We'll get it all together, I promise. Until then, you all be good. Be careful. Be smart. Be wise. And most importantly, thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.